All right, let's take our Bibles once again and turn back to the book of Leviticus chapter 1. Leviticus chapter 1. The Lord has spoken to Moses, instructing him to tell the people out of the congregation, out of the tabernacle of the congregation, if they bring an offering, make sure that they bring an offering according to God's demand for what God calls clean. Cattle, the herd, the flock. Now, it was five offerings that were offered by the people of God, by the priest, in the wilderness. There was a sin offering, trespass offering, peace offering, meat offering, and a burnt offering. And the Lord instructed Moses. He said, you tell the people, verse 3 of Leviticus 1, if his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. And he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. And he shall kill the bullock before the Lord, and the priest, Aaron's sons, shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood round about upon the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he shall flay the burnt offering and cut it into pieces. And the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall put fire upon the altar, lay the wood in order upon the fire. And the priest, Aaron's son, shall lay the parts, the head, the fat, in order upon the wood that's on the fire, which is upon the altar. But his inwards and his legs shall he wash in water, and the priest shall burn all on the altar to be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. Now, if the offering brought by one of the children of Israel was to be a burnt offering. Now remember, this is the burnt offering that God told Abraham to offer his son Isaac for. Just, you offer him as a burnt offering unto me. And here in this book right here, God gives explicit instructions on how this was going to be done. And Abraham, as I said in the first message, obviously understood what God meant. Obviously by divine revelation, he knew what it was. And here the Spirit of God tells us what it was. But if it was going to be an offering, a burnt sacrifice, verse 3, let him offer a male without blemish. Now, we all know, here is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. A male without blemish. He who is our burnt offering, our great, willingly great high priest. He who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities, yet without sin, tempted in all points like we are. A male without blemish set forth the purity of the Lord Jesus Christ. God Almighty, man, holy God, holy man, he knew no sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. So the burnt offering we see setting forth the blamelessness of the Lord Jesus Christ was to be a male without blemish. Isaiah 53:9. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. So when the burnt offering was brought to be offered unto the Lord, it was to be a male without blemish. And he shall offer it of his own voluntary will. This offering, like all offerings, sets forth the willingness, the submissiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this offering that was brought was to be brought by one of the people of Israel that wanted, that came, had a heart to offer an offering, a burnt offering. It was to be done of his own voluntary will. I told you that these different offerings that I was speaking of a while ago, the sin offering, all these offerings declared things, different attributes of the Lord Jesus Christ. The sin offering declared Christ who was made what we are. He was made sin. The trespass offering declares he who died for us for what we do. Trespass against the Lord. He died for what we are. He died for what we do. Aren't you glad? Right now. While all of us right now have been distracted. Thought things that were not becoming. Our minds have gone here, gone there. Less than, we've not worshiped God as we would desire. We've come short of the glory of God. That's trespass. Coming short. The meat offering. It was a bloodless offering. It was made of fine flour mixed with oil. Declared the unblemished holiness of Christ. The peace offering declared reconciliation and communion that believers have with Almighty God through the Lord Jesus Christ. But the burnt offering declared his willingness to die. His submissiveness. The willingness of the Lord Jesus Christ to give himself completely unto the Father for the redemption of his people. Willing to come into this world. Willing to be made flesh. Willing to be made sin at Calvary. Willing to endure the wrath of the Father in the stead of his people. Willing to suffer the hiding of the Father's face while he bore their sin and was made sin. He was made sin for us. His death was an absolute complete surrender of himself in unreserved devotion to the Father. His meat, here's what he said. This is what he feasted upon. This is my heart, this is what I eat, this is what I need, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. Finish the work. When he died according to God's will. He did so willingly. He said in John 10:18, no man taketh it, my life, from me. I lay it down of myself. So when we see the burnt offering, we see in the demand of Almighty God concerning this burnt offering being brought, he shall offer it of his own voluntary will. You know, God's people are willing people. I know the world speaks of free will and as if all men have a free will, but apart from regenerating grace, we're all in bondage to sin. We don't. Our will is not free. We've got an old carnal heart that's enmity against God. No man's got the freedom to be able to choose God or accept God, you know, decide. Man's dead. He's dead. But in regenerating grace, something changes. God gives life. He removes a heart of stone. He gives a heart of flesh. I'm going to give you a new heart, new spirit. Brother Henry said, I'm going to give you a new attitude. And God's people have that. They've got a new attitude. And it's one of willingness and worship. You that know him, Do you want to serve Him? Sure you do. Do you want to love Him? Sure you do. Do you want to honor Him? Sure you do. Do you see the old man warring against that new man? Yes, you do. How does it cause you to feel concerning your old man? You're like Job. I loathe myself. Oh, I repent. Dust and ashes. I'm so sorry. God's people are a willing people. They're willing worshipers. They don't worship God out of requirement. They don't do it. Judges 5:2. Listen to this. Praise ye the Lord. You know, it's good to begin with hallelujah, isn't it? Pray, that's what it is. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel. Aren't we thankful that the Lord has delivered us? Delivered His people? Thank the Lord. Praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel when the people willingly offer themselves. This is what God's people do. They willingly do it. Made willing in the day of God's power. Let's never forget where that willingness comes from. It didn't come from us. It didn't start with us. It's given unto you to believe. None are made willing until Almighty God gives them a new heart to come. But what God demands, God gives. You tell them, say, if any man going to bring a burnt offering, you let him bring it. Bring it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Do it before the Lord. Come realizing God sees. God knows. I think so often myself. I think the Lord knows. The Lord knows. Now I might try to hide something from you, I try to keep it. But I think to myself, I think God sees, God knows. As God is my witness, that's a promise from the heart of a believer. As God is my witness, God Almighty says, well, if he comes, it's voluntary, bring it to the door of the tabernacle of congregation before the Lord. It's going to be done openly. They know God's people, they don't worship God in secret. Oh, there's a secretness concerning praying unto the Lord, going to your closet. So, but God's people, they're open. They're open about it. They're not ashamed. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation. I want people to hear. I want them to come. I want them to come. Not come because we need more members, because we need more money, we need more influence, we need more. I want them to hear. I want them to hear. This is the only hope that they've got. So he's going to do it. It's going to be of a willing heart, a voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. It's going to be an open. But when it says you're going to do it with your voluntary will at the door, there was the tabernacle. I told you one time. I remember. I kind of looked at the dimensions of it. That tabernacle, according about as close as I could figure, out in the wilderness, it had that outer court. It was just it was like a curtain put up, and then it had an inner tabernacle. It was the holy place, and then the holy of holies, and there was a veil between. But that outer court, it was about as wide from that. That wall right there, just about to right here, this side of the aisle right here. And it went back almost, not quite as far as the back rows back there. And that's about how big it was. And within that was that holy place and the holy of holies. But out here on the outside, around that tent, on that outer tent, there was an opening. The door. The gate. And right, the first thing here, here's the door. There's the tent all the way around. And right here, and there's the brazen altar right there. Walk in, and that's where the sacrifice is going to be offered. Right there. You bring it with a voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and you do this before the Lord. But oh, the blessedness of being able to contemplate how I can enter in. Come to the door. Come to the door. The Lord Jesus Christ said in John 10:17, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. I'm the door." So I realize before I have any entrance whatsoever, I'm going to come how? By Him. John 14:6, He said, "I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So he's the door. He's the door. And he's the sacrifice also that was going that's brought. If his offering is a burnt sacrifice, it's going to be a male without blemish, offered of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. All of it pictured Christ. All of it. He's the sacrifice, the priest, the altar. Scripture declares we have an altar. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. The Lord Jesus Christ is the altar of His church. How is that? When He was made flesh, that He made flesh, by being made flesh, He offered Himself, being God and man, unto Jehovah through the eternal Spirit. So He's the altar, His flesh. That's how He offered Himself. He's the priest. He offered Him salvation of the Lord. So this is it. The offering be a burnt sacrifice, male without blemish, offered of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. Verse 4, "And he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering. It shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him." Now here's an amazing truth concerning the law of the burnt offering. The willing sinner in need of forgiveness before God through the willing sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ comes with the sacrifice of God's choosing and places or powerfully, it says he shall put his hand. It means to lean heavily, to lean upon. He lies hard his hands upon the sacrifice. Now, there was a sacrifice that was given in Leviticus 16, and it was the sin offering. And there Aaron the priest laid his hands, and in that offering there was a picture of the conveyance of the sins of the people onto the sacrifice. That's a sin offering. This is a burnt offering. And here's the law of the burnt offering. That which is being here by this sinner, he's bringing an offering, a burnt offering. He's bringing that which portrays, sets forth the willingness of the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. When he put his hand and leans his hands upon this, that was the significance of him fully identifying with the sacrifice, saying in type, this is what he's saying when he leaned hard upon the head of the burnt offering. What he's saying is, I am the sinner. I'm a sinner by nature, I'm a sinner by birth, I'm a sinner by choice, I'm a sinner by practice. And here the needy sinner made so by grace of God is come to the only sacrifice that God will accept. He comes and he leans his hand hard upon this. This is the willing sacrifice. I need you. That's what a believer says. And when according to God's mercy and compassion, we're given a heart to lean heavily, lean our soul upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the very one of God's affection. When we lean hard upon Him who God poured out His wrath on the same one, when the one that was offering the burnt sacrifice. I want you to look at this now, because I had to look at this for a while. I want you to look at exactly what it's talking about. He and the priest. He and the priest. If his offering, verse 3, be a burnt sacrifice, let him offer. Verse 4 says, and he is talking about the same person. When he comes, he brings this sacrifice willingly, leans his hand hard upon the head of the burnt sacrifice. What he's saying is this, putting his hand on, I believe God. I believe God. God Almighty who sent the willing sacrifice. I believe God who sent His Lamb, who was made sin for me. This is an act of faith. I trust Him. This is the one I trust. I lean hard on Him. Lean hard. And with the sacrifice being taken from the herd of God's appointment, a male without blemish offered with a voluntary will in true need of repentance and forgiveness. And he coming to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, leaning hard upon that animal. In other words, coming to God only in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ by faith and trust. He's all I got. He's all I got. Brother Scott said, if he's all you got, it's all you need. It's all you got. It's what it says. And he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted. It, the sacrifice. The sacrifice. Not his faith, not his... It, the sacrifice. He shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him. To make atonement for him. Any atonement that's going to be made, any covering that's going to be made, it's going to be made by the one that animal pictures, the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 5 says, and he, now again, let's keep it in the context. Remember, that there was the different sacrifices had different laws and different explanations concerning the work and the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the law of the burnt offering. And he, talk about the same person, the sinner that came, and he shall kill the bullock before the Lord. He, the one that brought the burnt offering. He who put his hand, leaned hard upon the head of the burnt offering, leaning by faith, associating himself with the burnt offering, the glorious person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he shall kill the bullock before the Lord. He shall, before the Lord, kill the sacrifice. What that needy sinner was saying before God is, I'm the guilty party. I'm the reason for this suffering of this animal. It pictures the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm the reason that this offering is going to die for me. Had to die. God is just. That needy sinner, that worshiper comes, leads that animal to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. He comes to the place where he knows because of his sin he's not worthy to enter. He knows that this is the dwelling place of God, and there by the altar he stands. He comes to the door. There it is. There's the altar right there. There's the priest. They're standing around. And he comes and he puts his hand, he leans his hand hard. And with one swift cut, he kills that animal. And at that moment, something else, he shall kill the bullock before the Lord now. And the priests, Aaron's sons, shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood round about upon the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Here's what it said. The one offering brought it. The one offering leaned hard upon it. The one offering kills the animal. And the priest, they catch in basins or some way. They take it. Here's that the picture of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here these priests, they come and they catch that blood, and the priest sprinkle the blood round about upon the altar, all around, in a circuit. They cover that altar. Only the appointed priest. Now here's the difference. Yes, the offerer was the reason that he had to die. The offerer is the one leaning hard by faith, trusting in the one that animal pictures. But here, when that animal died, according to these scriptures right here, he was killed by the one offering, but the priest offered the blood. Not him. Not him. I want you to turn with me to Hebrews 9. Hebrews 9. You've got to make very, very, very close distinction here. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11, 14. Hebrews 9, 11. For Christ being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ... Now here's the significance. When it said the priest caught the blood and the priest sprinkled it. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Was the one bringing it guilty? Yes, he was. Did he lean hard upon it? Yes, he did. Was he the reason that the animal was killed? Yes, he was. Yes, he was. Yes, he was. And when that animal died, according to God's instruction, the priest caught the blood. And the priest sprinkled the blood. Then it says in verse 6, now remember this, this is what God told Abraham, I want you to take your son, you offer him as a burnt offering unto me. And Abraham understood. He had the wood, he had the fire, he had the knife. Verse 6 says, and he shall flay the burnt offering and cut it into his pieces. The sacrifice, after it was slain, blood was applied. That sacrifice was to be flayed, skinned, and cut it into his pieces, saying in the context of our scripture, seeing that the references mean he, that refers to the one bringing the burnt sacrifice, and the priests, the sons of Aaron, those who catch the blood and sprinkle the blood. Now we see, here's the God ordained. After the offering. Now look at it again. Now we're back to he again. Verse 6. And he shall flay the burnt offering. The offerer that brought the offering was to take it and skin the animal. And after it was killed, the blood was applied. He completely removed the outer covering, the skin, and gave it to the priest. According to Leviticus 7:8, the skin was given to the priest. And then this one bringing the offering, it said, reading again at verse 6, and he shall flay the burnt offering and cut it into his pieces. That cut it into his pieces was from a word which means cut up, cut in pieces, and divide by joints. Now, this was done according to God's instruction in order. And here's the picture. Here's the type. He brought that animal that was out without blemish. You could look at it. Couldn't find anything on the outside that was a blemish. But in order that it was shown to be completely without blemish, it wasn't sufficient, according to according to the law, the burnt offering, that the offering should be only outwardly without blemish. It was needful to disclose that all within was without blemish too. There's times I may go, I've told you this recently, I may go just going for a checkup. The doctor will ask me, he said, well, how are you doing? I said, well, as far as I know, right now I'm doing okay. I don't see anything visibly on the outside. But now then they're going to do an x-ray, and they're going to take some blood, and they're going to do this, that, and the other. And then he's going to tell me what's on the inside. This is what they're doing. You take it, kill it, skin it, and you cut its pieces up according to the joints. And here was to disclose that not only outwardly, but inwardly, there's no blemish in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ's blessed obedience and willingness to the Father was not a mere surface work. Wasn't merely outside. His whole being was without sin. In that sin offering, we learned that Christ was made sin for us. That was the law of the sin offering. But in the burnt offering, that offering declared that he was without sin personally. He knew no sin. Without sin, outwardly and inwardly. And then after the offering was killed and skinned, it was to be cut into pieces by him who brought the offering. He shall flay the burnt offering and cut it into his pieces. And then something changes after that. He was to be brought, and the priest are going to offer the sacrifice. It says in verse 7, and the sons of Aaron now are going to take and put fire upon the altar, lay the wood in order upon the fire. Now here's his sacrifice. It's killed, blood drained, skinned, cut into his pieces, all the joints. Isaiah 52:14. Turn with me there. Isaiah 52:14. I thought about this passage of Scripture. Isaiah 52:14. Now let's read 13:14. Isaiah 52:13-14. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. I looked up those words just a few minutes ago. Wrote them into these notes right here so we could understand. When he was skinned, when that animal was skinned, cut up into his parts, cut in by joint, there we behold something of the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 52:14 says, as many were astonished at thee. It means stunned, stupefied, devastated, and numb. His visage, his appearance, his shape was so marred, that is, disfigurement, more than any man, and his form, his outline, or his figure. Visage was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. The suffering that he suffered was indescribable. That offering, that burnt offering, killed, blood drained, skinned, and cut all the pieces up. There it is. Only the Lord Jesus Christ, was it said, through the eternal Spirit, He offered Himself without spot. And there's the complete, in picture and type, disclosure. Nothing outside found to be sin. Nothing inside. That's what it was pictured. It was all exposed before the Lord. Verse 7, and the sons of Aaron, the priests shall put fire upon the altar and lay the wood in order upon the fire. Notice these closing verses today. We behold again the work, the divine work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the priests are going to do something. That man been doing, he, the man, bringing it, and the priest. And the scriptures are very explicit here. The sons of Aaron, they shall put fire upon the altar. The fire that was upon the altar, there's the brazen altar. It was never to go out. Turn with me to Leviticus 6. Leviticus 6, 12 and 13. Leviticus 6, 12 and 13. And the fire, Leviticus 6, 12 and 13, the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning. Lay the burnt offering in order upon it. He shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offerings. The fire shall never, the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. What did the fire picture? I'll tell you, Ezekiel 21:31. Let me tell you what the fire represented on the brazen altar. Ezekiel 21:31. And I will pour out mine indignation upon thee. I will blow against thee in the fire of my wrath, and deliver thee into the hand of brutish men and skillful to destroy. The fire on the brazen altar set forth the wrath of God. And it'll never go out to those who are found to be without Christ. It's never going to go out. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath the Son hath not life. I just quoted this. But the wrath of God abideth on him. Abideth on him. Abideth on him. When he leaves this world, it abideth on him. God's wrath for all without Christ never ceases. That fire on that brazen altar was never to go out. Never. But to the joy and peace and comfort of all who powerfully have been rescued from the bondage and the penalty of sin, for all who have been made willing in the day of God's power to cast themselves upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to me. The fire of God's justice and God's wrath that shall never cease in hell has been quenched. Christ has borne the guilt and the wrath of God, an eternal due, due His people, and He put it away. Their sins are cast as far as the east is from the west. It's no more. There's no condemnation of them being Christ Jesus. But what happened is, concerning that burnt offering, this is what he was doing. It was the willingness of the Lord Jesus Christ to die. Verse 7, the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall put fire upon the altar, and they'll lay the wood in order upon the fire. What's going to happen is they're going to make sure that fire don't go out. It don't go out. It's burning. It's burning. And whenever one comes, they're going to take it and dismember that sacrifice. Verse 8, and the priest, Aaron's son, shall lay the parts, the head, the fat, in order upon the wood that is on the fire, which is upon the altar. They're going to take it and they're going to lay it in the order, the divided parts. I wrote this down. The divided parts of the sacrifice were laid upon the altar in the order of their position before the sacrifice was slain, before it was skinned It was divided. And here's the Lord Jesus Christ. Complete disclosure of His holiness, His purity, without and within. There it is. That's what He pictured. They took all those parts. There it is. Do you see any part? The priest looked up. Do you see any blemish in any of these parts? No. No. There's none. Put it on the altar. Lay it on the altar. And there, it was sacrificed unto God. And the priest, verse 8, Aaron's son shall lay the parts, the head upon the fire, which is upon the altar. But his inwards, his legs, shall he wash in water. And the priest shall burn all on the altar to be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. Now, in these closing words right here, I want us to remember the marvelous display of the willingness and the purity of Him who laid down, willingly laid down His life for the sheep. Yes, the animal was skinned, cut into pieces, and laid upon the altar, but something was said in closing that just gripped me. And I looked into this, and I believe the Lord's given me some light on these last words right here. It says, His inwards and His legs shall be washed in water, and the priest shall burn all upon the altar to be a burnt sacrifice. Many commentators that I read said that spoke of the continual need of washing, of to be cleansed again. This sacrifice is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's speaking of Him. There was no seed. There was no need in Him of any washing. But it says these, the inwards, and Blue Letter Bible, I always tell you that just in case you want to look. I encourage you to do so. He gives good commentary. These inwards to be the entrails, the intestines. And what, when you look up the definition, here's what it says. The inwards. It means the seat of thought. The seat, S-E-A-T. The seat of thought or emotion. The inward part of man. That's what it means. And then the legs. And it meant that portion from the knee to the ankle. And the word legs right there is from a word that means to bend, to bow, to kneel, in reverence. And knowing that we're speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's sacrifice for His people, willing sacrifice, the washing of those parts set forth, not their need, not the need of washing, it was concerning Him, but it set forth what Christ is essentially. Both inwardly and outwardly, there was no guile. And in these last parts, the very emotion of His heart. Emotion of His heart was in submission, to bow, to kneel. That's what the whole message has been bringing. That's what it's all about. The willingness of the Lord. And then, after that was done, then the priest burned it on the altar. And that sacrifice was totally for God. The meat offering, there were offerings that could be eaten by the priest. The peace offering could be eaten by the priest. That shows it. Peace, reconciliation, God and us. Not this one. Nobody but God received anything of the burnt offering. It was burnt completely. It was an offering made by fire, and it was a sweet savor unto the Lord. That word burn right there. And I'm going to close. I don't apologize. I'm just. That word burn. Actually, it's a word that means fumigation in a close place. Fumigation. That burnt offering was, the burning flesh of itself wouldn't smell good, but to God, it was a sweet savor. It was fumigation. The satisfaction of Almighty God being appeased, the willingness of His Son, who was without sin, lay down His life for His people. God who chose a people in Christ from before the foundation of the world, and Christ redeemed them and satisfied God's law, put away their guilt, and did it willingly. Ephesians 5:1-2, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ hath also loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. May the Lord bless these words to our heart.